I don't know, in your earlier years, you're 27 years old, you're writing these songs, you're like, yeah, that note, I can hit that note. Fuck yeah. Right. Boom, here we go. And now people want you to sing that song.
Oh, sometimes I'm so mad at my 25-year-old self. What were you thinking? Over and over, night after night, like the way I do. I thought that I could somehow shape their personalities and make them be this, you know. Oh, no, they are so fully, they come with a full package when they come in. And they have their own personalities, ideas. And all I can do is feed and water them and love them and love them and love them and love them, you know. People make their own choices, even family members, even my son, who, you know, struggled with opioid use disorder and finally passed away from a fentanyl overdose almost 4 years ago now. And it's the understanding that he does not want me to feel guilt or shame. He does not want me to stop my life. He's out of pain now. He's in a place that is, I believe, you know, pure positive energy. And he's there rooting for me, and he wants me to be happy. So I want to be that and find that and find the way of knowing that I've done the best I can and to keep going.
G'day, thanks so much for being here. If you'd like to get notified about new episodes, get access to events, to gigs before anybody else, and read things that aren't in the regular show, you can subscribe to the newsletter right now at oshaginsberg.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
G'day, welcome to the show. It's Better Than Yesterday, making it better every single episode since 2013 by learning from someone who's been through it before. Thanks for being a part of it. I'm Osha Ginsberg. Welcome. I'm a podcaster. I'm an author, a TV host. I'm a dad. I'm a stepdad. I'm a loving incubator of daycare pathogens. I nurture them. I care for them. I keep them safe for my son while he bounces back and heads on out the door to enjoy his day. I'm here wiping my nose with toilet paper and eating my wife's absolutely beautiful mushroom soup that she made me today with some of my brother's extraordinarily heavy-duty chili sauce to try to get over this thing. I know you know what I'm going through. You know, you think it's going to be fine. It isn't. There's just runny noses for decades. Thanks for getting around the gigs at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival with the news show. It's tons of fun. There are some tickets still out there. The link is in the show notes. Get on to that. I don't even want to talk anymore because Melissa Etheridge is here. Yes, the Melissa Etheridge. She's touring once again. She's kicking off in Perth in May and then heading east, stopping all stations, Adelaide, Melbourne, the Goldie, and Sydney, which is already sold out. Now, she is bringing some family with her. You're about to hear. She's very, very excited about that. And if this is your first time hearing about this remarkable woman, if you've never heard of Melissa Etheridge before, let me bring you up to speed. Melissa Etheridge is a Grammy-winning, Oscar-winning singer-songwriting superstar. For over 30 years, her distinctive voice has told stories of love and passion and heartache, pain. She's very publicly lived through challenges that most people experience only in private. Her journey of coming out, a cancer diagnosis, hair loss from the subsequent chemotherapy, and recently the absolutely devastating loss of her son, Beckett, who passed away from an opioid overdose. He was just 21 years old. Yeah, heads up, we are going to talk about that. Heads up, I start crying. That's on the way. So just so you know, if you don't want to be on the train crying, maybe find another episode because I started crying. So, but Melissa, so gracious about it, so wonderful, and so has brought so many lessons and so much wisdom out of the pain and heartache that she's been through. She's even used her grief to explore ways of treating addiction by supporting world-first research into the use of plant medicines that were previously only really associated with sacred ceremony, and hopefully exploring how they might be able to save lives that are affected by addiction. Melissa Etheridge is an absolute dream. It's not often that I get the willies when someone comes on a call or sits down for a podcast, but when I saw Melissa's smiling face come onto my screen from the other side of the world, you can hear it in my voice. I'm pretty thrilled to speak with such an absolute legend. But you'll also hear throughout this chat, Melissa is, yeah, a superstar and a mum who's been through some shit. And there's something really relatable about the way she speaks about the wisdom that she shares, particularly about being present in the moment. I found it just so wonderful. Go see her gigs. She's a magnificent storyteller. They'll probably put on another Sydney show because the current one's already sold out. So either that or make a weekend of it. Head up to the Gold Coast for the festival in Broadbeach there. We were there a couple of years back. It's pretty fun. Enjoy this. Enjoy connecting with Melissa Etheridge. Hello from Sydney.
Oh, I love Sydney so much.
Where are you right now?
Los Angeles.
Ah. I lived there for about 10 years.
Ooh.
And it's interesting to be in an industry town. And it's interesting being in a city that no one's kind of really from there, certainly not in the circles that I was traveling in.
Yeah.
Everyone's from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's there with a solitary purpose. And it kind of got me thinking, I guess, you know, thinking about that, I wonder, like, what was it like for you? Like, you grew up in Kansas, right?
Yeah.
And then now you're somewhere where it's cold and people can't use vowels properly. You're going to Berkeley, you're out in Berkeley.
You have a point there. They have a weird thing with their R's, yes.
Yeah. What was it like when you landed there, and was it a fish out of water situation?
Well, yeah, that was my first time really in a big city other than Kansas City, which is not a big city. And it was definitely a learning curve. Boston is a big college town, so a lot of other kids my age. And it's sort of built to where a college kid can kind of ramble around a certain area and not get hurt, you know, and not, you know, cause too much damage. And I was there for a couple of years and I met some great people, great music, and got a job, you know, playing solo, and was able to find my community until the job stopped and I just went home. I went back to Kansas and then I decided to drive out to California. It was a whole nother different thing.
Oh, right. I guess wanted to, you know, you're a parent, and mm-hmm. I wanted to just, what does it mean when you go away from your home, all right, away from your family of origin, your structure, but you then find yourself in a different place? What does it give you, and why do you think it might be important to surround yourself with people who are all going in the same direction, like what happened with you when you went to music school?
Oh, well, because after you've lived life for a while, like you and I have, you realize that life is really truly about relationships and how you feel as you're reaching for your goals, and you know you're finding that happiness is actually that reaching for it. Once you get things, not, you know, it's not so much the great as the journey, and surrounding yourself with people that understand that support you, that believe and you can believe in them and be inspired by them. And people have come and gone in my life, you know, over the last 40 years. And once I had my own family, then that narrows down my relationships and my time, because I spent most of it, you know, with them. And I still do, you know, that my immediate family is now my closest relationships. And then I have others outside of that.
Our eldest, my stepdaughter's 20. And I look at the pressure that, you know, how the fuck can you know what it is you want to do when you're 19?
I know. Yeah. I've got 17 year olds and it's just like, you know, take your time. It's going to unroll in front of you. You know, there's things that you don't know. I was completely obsessed with music from day one. And so it was much easier for me to just follow that. But I don't think we should even call people grown up until they're like 30, at least 30. Yeah. You know, just really developing. And I'm glad that my first album didn't come out till I was 27. So I had already grown up a little bit, written bad songs and was able to then write better songs.
Oh, yeah. This idea that your first, you know, song that you debut, that you drop on Spotify or you be on Instagram is going to be the one.
I am so happy there was none of that when I was, you know, 18 or 19. Oh my God. I'm so glad none of that is available to anyone.
Is there a box of like Tascam 4 tracks somewhere in your house?
Maybe, not even like cassettes, you know, like a little tiny cassette.
Oh man, I've got some of them. But even in when you first broke through in the late 80s, to be 27 and, you know, making a breakthrough, that's starting now. It's unheard of that someone who's 27 would show up with a major pop release. What would you say about having a fairly decent well of emotional experiences to draw on by the time you get to that debut?
That's exactly it. A well of stuff to pick from, but also to, because we're just learning, you know, we keep learning. And I'm so, so grateful that my songs were of my later 20s that, you know, and I'm still learned through my 30s and 40s, and I've been learning, and it's all about, my music is all about what I've learned. So, oh gosh, I know when I hear songs and they're like, they're 16 years old. I'm like, oh no, they're just making this up. They've never done. Oh yeah. Anyway.
It's tough, man. It's tough. The line, you've got your whole life to write your first album and 6 months to write your second is very, very true. As you go on through your career and, you know, you keep putting records out, you keep releasing, at what point I'll give you an analogy. I used to work in breakfast radio, and at 11 o'clock, if we were still in meetings, our boss would be like, go, get out of here. Go drive a different way home. You've got to have something to talk about tomorrow. You need to go and have experiences. Otherwise, there's nothing. We've got 3 hours to make a show tomorrow. So go.
Right.
Does the, you know, kind of filling that bucket of experience up in between records become a thing that you deliberately pursue?
Yes, especially now. I haven't had an album of new music released since, I think it was 2017. So I released one during the pandemic of something I recorded before, and it was older songs. And I am now spending this year, there's also going to be a live album of mine coming out our summer, your winter. And I am taking my time examining what my life has been like over the last 10 years and things to write about. And I'm enjoying taking this time rather than just trying to, oh, what's a hit song? What can I come up with? But really make it something that people are like, oh, where's Melissa at? You know, let's listen to the experiences now. That's what I want to do.
So when it comes to that experiences that you could draw on, your life has had so many ups and downs.
Yeah.
Where for you is the line of, yeah, I can talk about this, or other people are involved, so I might have to be a bit obtuse about this?
Oh, well, I probably should be a little bit more, there's a word I can't reach right now, but it's
discerning.
Discerning. There you go. Because what I did was I wrote a book. I wrote a book last couple of years. I wrote a book and I put everything in there that I kind of was like, look, this is the truth as I know it, as I remember it, and everything that's happened and everything. Then after that, I think when I'm writing, people can, I mean, I'm not going to say my first ex did this to me in a, you know, in a song. I'm not going to sing that, you know, or I'm going to, it's going to be, you know, around it and around all this stuff and more personal so that other people can relate to it. Mm. So, yes, I definitely draw the line of being too, I'm not into making anybody feel bad or anything. So I just want to create music that people can relate to, but that also is very personal and comes from my heart.
You have, though, quite a superpower in that not everyone has the ability to express what's going on inside their bodies. All right. So for various reasons, this morning my brain did some stuff and now my wife's mad at me. And it's right that she is. But I can't put into words what's happening inside, right? I can't actually explain to you even what the sensation is in my body. I feel like I've got a flu. I don't. Aww. But, you know, there's something kind of weird. Yet, the right song, the right book, usually the right song, because I'm a sucker for a good chord change, good key change and a big note will get me every time. Mm-hmm. You get to go, oh, that's it. The thing I was telling you about, that's what it is. Go listen to that or go read that.
Oh.
Do you see, not necessarily a duty, but do you see that there's a great amount of, like a huge gift that you're able to give other people by putting some of the experiences you've been through, some of the things you've been through have been quite difficult in some different levels, but you have an ability to put it into words that might help other people process it or at least share with others to help them kind of understand what's going on. Do you see that there's a thing that you can give people with that?
I have seen the response that people have given me. I've seen the people come up and say, your song helped me, this helped me, your album helped me, this helped me.
Yeah, wow.
And that's everything. And then I do realize I do enjoy taking that feeling that, oh, and finding that word and just pulling it out of the ether and then creating an emotion that's I'm honored and blessed to have that be my work. I love that.
Because when I think, fuck me, sorry. I generally don't cry when I do this, but when I think about some of the grief that you've had to face, and some of the life or death situations you've had to face, you know, mm-hmm. and one in a lifetime is enough, but the things that have stacked upon you, you know, what is it, Melissa? What is it that gets you here today smiling?
Oh, you know, it's a deep belief. It's a deep, you could call it spiritual belief in this life and what it's all about and why I'm here as a living, breathing, spiritual being inside this meat suit. You know, this is my deep belief. And if anyone wants to really go deeper, go into my book, Talking to My Angels. And it's a belief that joy is important and that people make their own choices, even family members, even my son who, you know, struggled with opioid use disorder and finally passed away from a fentanyl overdose almost 4 years ago now. And it's the understanding that he does not want me to feel guilt or shame. He does not want me to stop my life. He's out of pain now. He's in a place that is, I believe, you know, pure positive energy. And he's there rooting for me and he wants me to be happy. So I want to be that and find that and find the way of knowing that I've done the best I can and to keep going.
Oh, man. It's, yeah, I don't know. I'm nearly, I don't know, in about two weeks, I'll be 14 years.
My friend.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Knowing that.
There's some lucky members of your family. I'm.
Bro.
Yeah. Thank you.
I can only imagine, I can only imagine how that, yeah, you know, to that you're able to come to that, what you've just told me, that you're able to be there. I know the amount of sets and reps of heavy fucking deadlifts you've had to do to get there. Doesn't happen by accident.
No, it's a deep belief, and it's a love that I have for him, a love that I have for my wife and my family, a love that I have for myself. I think it comes from that of knowing how hard it was and being able to move on and understand we're all going to die. We're not getting out of this alive, you know, and may I, you know, go as long as I can and create as much as I can, you know, and the whole point is just to enjoy this moment right now, because this is all there is. And this is all that will ever be, is this moment. We will never be in tomorrow. We will only be right here.
It seems so simple when you say it out loud.
I know. It's a rough one to understand because it's so simple.
And we have the most control over as well. We have the most control over this bit.
How you
but we spend so much time worrying about that thing that we've got no control over, or that thing that we could have chosen differently.
Yeah. Well, that's your left brain. This is a dualistic universe, and we are even divided. Our brains are divided, left side, right side. Left side is in charge of worrying about the future and regretting the past, and your right side is right now. And it's the creative, and our whole society is based on problem solving, which is the left side. And so it's up to us to really, and musicians and artists, we're all right brained and flighty, and so it's just about a balance, about getting a balance.
When you are watching your kids grow up, as their brains start to get wired, and I know, don't know about you, but our youngest is 4.5, and I look at him and I'm like, I can't be mad at you for doing that, because the impulse control part of your brain doesn't actually exist yet.
Yes.
You can't not throw that thing. Come here, buddy. When your kids were first little, did you find a bit of that going on? Did you find a bit of kind of a fascination, I guess, in maybe forgiving yourself?
Well, it took a while, because I had 4 children. I had 2, and then 10 years later, I had 2 others. So by the time I had gone through sort of everything with the first 2 in those first 10 years, I was like, I know you guys are, when the other 2 came, and they were twins at the same time. And so when they came, it was like, oh, I know that you come fully formed. I thought that I could somehow shape their personalities and make them be this, you know. Oh no, they are so fully, they come with a full package when they come in, and they have their own personalities, ideas, and all I can do is feed and water them and love them and love them and love them and love them, you know?
That's a very short parenting book, but I like it.
Okay. Yeah.
Feed them, water them, love them, love them, love them. The end.
Yeah.
That's good luck. That's really it. That's really it. When you're out on the road, when you're away, when they're little, it must have been difficult. But what, like, you're coming to Australia, it's a long way away.
Yeah. You know? Well, I'm going to bring one of my kids with me.
Whoa!
I'm really excited. It's one of my youngest daughter. Her twin brother would come. I just can't. I don't know. I don't know why he's not interested in coming to Australia. I don't know. He's a tech, really brainy video guy. Yeah. And I'm like, you gotta come see Australia. But
what does he want to do instead?
I don't know. he's on online school, and he's doing, I don't know. I really don't know. But my daughter and my wife are going to both come with me. And it's
nice.
So exciting, because I want to go to the zoo. I want to see your funny animals. I want to, you know, I love you. Australians are so much fun and so personable. And your food is delicious. And I'm excited about doing it all.
Just a moment away from Melissa Etheridge to say that tickets for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival gigs are going. Come see the show. Come see the news show. It's tons of fun. It's the one we do here on the Fridays. Me and the news team are coming back to the Comedy Festival just to get stuck in. It's super nasty and fun and seditious and a joy to be around. The link is in the show notes. Also, that is where you'll find the mailing list. Now, if you sign up very, very shortly, I'm nearly finished making it. There's a super special surprise for your ear holes. I'm almost finished putting it together, but get on that mailing list because there's something coming your way in just a few short weeks from now. If this episode does help you at all, please do share it with someone that you think would dig it. I'd love to know what you think about it. Head over to the Instagram post. You'll see there's a long post of some stuff from this interview that you'll find on my Instagram. Just leave a comment there. I'd love to know what you think. We're back with Melissa Etheridge in a moment.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
I'm grateful you're coming back. And yeah. I mean, clearly you're selling out before you, you know, weeks before you got here, months before you got here. So yeah. People, what does it feel like knowing that people on the other side of the world are that excited to see you?
It never gets old. For the first time back in 88, 89, when I heard that Australia liked my first album, I was like, Australia? What? You know, I've never been there. They don't know me. But man, it never gets old. You know, saying, well, you still like this music. You still want to hear this. This is so exciting. So exciting.
I worked in radio for a long time, and I have this kind of theory that we have undercover country songs in our charts. Quite a lot.
Undercover country songs. I agree. Country is very strange right now. Not strange. It's basically pop rock music, but yeah. Undercover. And there's a lot of country artists that come from Australia. Hello.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So our charts have been full of like bands that don't wear the hats, and they don't do the thing with the voice.
Yeah,
that's a country song.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. And it's funny because I'm wearing the hats now.
Ah, yeah. So, hey, look, you earned it, mate.
I'm going to wear the hats, and you decide where the music goes.
Oh, look, I played double bass in the country band for a while, and we were legit because we had 10 members in the band. So
legit, no money, 10 members. That's country.
Absolutely, absolutely. Double figures, and I smoked soft pack Peter Stuyvesant for about 6 weeks.
Oh, okay, you went all in.
I had a denim shirt and a trucker hat. I was. Real into Hank Williams at the time.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. I don't know where that double bass is now. I think it's in somebody's studio somewhere.
That's hard to play.
If you're not in a band, like every time you move house, your girlfriend's like, what the fuck? Why? You know?
Girlfriend.
It's like, get rid of it. Now, I don't know, being you, you know, do you show up at the Super Bowl with your Grammy and go, hey, look, I've got this. I'm from Kansas. Can you let me in?
I have been invited to the Super Bowl. I didn't have to talk anybody up. But I'm so used to sitting at home watching the Super Bowl with my family, and it becomes an event, that if I went to a Super Bowl, I'd have to talk to people, you know. I'd be the famous person, and I'd have to talk to them, and I don't want to. I want to watch the football game. So I have passed. Someday I will do it when it's the right. I don't know what makes it the right thing, but for now I just love.
They're going to go back to back. They're going to go back to back. Don't you worry. They'll go back to back. I relate to that so immensely.
You're a footy fan?
You know, when people say, like, I've reached a certain age, and because of the job this is what I've done, oh, you want to go to the sink? There's like, how much laminate is around my ticket,
right,
and how many A's are written on it? Because my couch is amazing.
Yeah,
and season four of True Detective.
Yes. It is so hard to get us out, especially because we spend, that's our job, is we're out.
Yeah.
You know, so when I come home, I want to be home.
Yeah. And but the, to be true, you know, truth be told, people are giving in our country at the moment, for God knows whatever reason, people are giving Taylor Swift a lot of shit because she flew over a private plane here. It's like,
oh,
and you know, people are sending videos around of how, like, how she gets into the stadium. But I don't think people quite gather when someone is quite recognizable like yourself in the right crowd, that is actually very dangerous.
Yeah.
Crowd crushes are fucking dangerous thing.
100%. 100%. You cannot fault her anything.
No.
And her own personal health is her business. If anything happened to her, if anything happened to anybody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's in, even though people love her, that's another, I've seen audiences move up because I've reached down to, like, you know, touch somebody's hand, and then yeah, there's this crush, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, you know, and yeah, I run to the other side just to stop that. And it's frightening because you don't want someone to get hurt because people love you, you know, they don't understand that that can be dangerous.
In the moment, no, not at all. And so I guess I'm alluding to the fact that, like, if you're going to go out, you know, you might try to watch a football game, but most of your day will be like, hey, like that.
Oh, you have no idea. Yeah, it's a selfie. Yeah, okay. Yeah, can I have yes, I can take it. Yes, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of that. And I don't say no because I love people and I love how they love my music. So I have to be, when I go out, if I don't want to be bothered, I should not.
I have a drink. I'm trying to eat my cookie.
Oh, I need your food and everything everywhere.
I'm here with my kids.
Yeah,
give me a second here. Give me a second.
Yeah,
I have a bit of a different brain, as I mentioned when we first got on the call. And in times I've been very, very, very unwell. The psychiatrist has really, really helped me. He works at a place here called the Black Dog Institute, and he's been on the show. He is the lead researcher in the clinical trials of using psilocybin in pharmaceutical and, you know, big, like, proper.
Yeah.
Like, we're not, you know, Bill Hicks in the woods where, you know,
you're in an office,
you sit down in a room, you go to a clinic, there's people there.
A clinic, yeah.
This is something that's definitely on your radar. Yeah. At what point did you start to explore this sort of thing?
Well, I first had an experience. It was an accidental overdose of cannabis back in, good God, 2003. So that's, you know.
I've got the chills just thinking about that.
You know, like 20 years ago. And it opened my mind. It opened my eyes. It changed me. Mm. And it sort of set me on a kind of a spiritual path and a plant medicine path.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, you know, I've done psilocybin, I've done ayahuasca.
Wow.
And it's very personal. And, you know, you can't really, hey, you should go, you know, it's
you're not in the car park at a Grateful Dead show.
No. It's all set and setting. It's very important.
Yeah.
Where you do it, why you do it, who you do it with, and it's a very grown up thing. And I was a huge believer in it and a huge, you know, supporter. And it wasn't until my son started, you know, becoming addicted, and I realized the problem he had, and I was looking for and wishing and hoping that these sort of things were open, that because his only choice at the time was, you know, sober up and AA, and you kind of, you know, just don't do it, you know, and it never really dealt with his own, you know, psychological issues. And I think that plant medicines, psychedelics, help us so much to understand ourselves, to connect with our, just to connect us back with our delight of life and why and love and sort of these ideas that we get, well, the knowledge that we go away from, the knowledge that we are all one and how important love is and relationship with ourselves. And when he passed away, to help with my grief, I formed what's called the Etheridge Foundation, and it raises money solely for research into psychedelics and how they can help in so many different ways with opioid use disorder, with pain, yeah, with all the things that that lead us to choose opioids instead of something more healthy. And it's been amazing, and we get so much done. And if any of your listeners are interested, it's etheridgefoundation.org. You can donate. We always take funds. You can check out to get the information. But there's so much incredible work doing around the world with cannabis, psilocybin. Actually, ayahuasca, we're helping fund a one of the first research ever, legal research, is in Australia. There's a doctor there who growing your own vine and leaf down in Australia and working to see what the how it can help with getting people off opioids.
From what I know about where we are with, you know, using plant medicine and psychedelics and that, this stuff got, people started exploring it in the 50s and the 60s, but those things escaped the laboratories and they started to get street use, and dosages that were just really unsafe started, you know, happening unsupervised and without structure, and people get really, really, really damaged. Yeah. And, you know, that was it. Illegal, over. Unfortunately, and we lost 50 years of time, you know?
Yes, we did. Yes. And now you cannot deny it. A study we're doing in Spain with ibogaine, which is a psychedelic root from Africa. And the Spanish government is helping fund also, because they wanted, they have programs for heroin addicts that can get on methadone, but then they're on methadone for 15, 20 years and they want to get them off of that. So they are running trials there. We are helping fund that. And the results already are, not only does this get them off of methadone, but they stop smoking, they stop drinking, and they change their life. And that's what it's about.
It's profound. It's these, under the right conditions, like bear in mind, like, we're not talking about, you know, you're in the back of a panel van watching the sunset. No,
you're not.
You're in a clinic and there's in the stuff that Adam does, there's two psychologists in the room because they want to be sure that you're not led astray, because you are just so open and so raw. But I you know, the very simplest version would be just fundamentally rewriting the neural pathways that can, you know, re-regulate our dopamine and reward systems.
There you go.
And then, you know, it only takes one or two sessions.
Yeah.
And on the other side of it, that compulsion isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
And for anybody that's never had a problem with addiction, you might just go, hey, just don't do it. Yeah. That's like saying, don't swat a mosquito that's sucking blood out of your arm.
Yeah.
Like, there it is.
You do. Yeah.
You can't not. And it's a function of the brain. So to be able to reprogram that in such a low impact way, it's profound. And I'm so excited over the next couple of years about what lies ahead, and hopefully the misunderstanding around things like addiction, that it's a choice, you know.
Yeah.
or that people choose to have lives like that.
You're
known for, like, I don't know, in your earlier years, you're 27 years old, you're writing these songs, you're like, yeah, that note, I can hit that note. Fuck yeah. Right. Boom, here we go. And now people want you to sing that song.
Oh, sometimes I'm so mad at my 25-year-old self. What were you thinking? Over and over, night after night, like the way I do.
Exactly. How do you protect the asset? What do you do to stay match fit?
I approach it like an athlete would. Mm. It's about sleep. It's about diet. It's about as low inflammatory stuff as I can. I mean, when I'm not working, I'll have cheese and this and some bread and some sugar over here. But boy, when I'm on the road, it is clean, clean, clean. And that keeps all this open. It's staying low stress and then just relaxing and not having to push all the time. Knowing that these people know these songs, I don't have to impress them anymore. I'm good. And letting it go and just knowing that I'm enough. I don't have to push anymore.
I think to translate that for people who haven't won Grammys for the music they've written, it would be as simple as saying, I'm enough.
Yeah.
I'm already good enough. I don't have to work hard to do that.
Yeah. As
long as I look after myself and, you know, keep my side of the street and keep calm here, we're going to be sweet.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good plan of attack. Melissa, you are a delight. You're a dream to speak to. I'm so excited I got to talk to you today. And thank you for being so honest with me. And thanks for being open. I really appreciate it.
You got to come to a show, okay?
You're doing the full lap.
And I started in Perth. I've never started in Perth.
Oh, well, that's good. Because ending in Perth, it's a much longer trip home, way longer trip home.
So this time it's as wide as trip down.
It's LA to New York. It's that long.
So I was actually just today showing my daughter the map of Australia, and I was like, see, from here to here is just as long from LA to New York. Yeah. It's like the whole United States. So
Perth is great. It's such a great town.
I remember the first time I was there in like 90, it was a western small town, and now it's grown so much.
Well, there's a place called China that's really into iron ore.
All the minerals just bam.
They've got a lot of it. But it's you're going the whole trip, which is superb. Adelaide's great. I don't know if you're into art, but one of the guys, because there's all that great vineyards down in South Australia, at the Darrenburg Vineyard, that guy's got the license to tour large-scale Dalis. So there's like in the middle of the mall, the big kind of pedestrian mall in the middle of the city, there's an elephant on stilts. It's huge. And there's like 13 or 14 of them there. It's bonkers.
Oh, my God. This is in Adelaide?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
Get your TM on that quick sticks.
Okay. all right. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, it's proper. It's super, super fun. And you're heading up to the Gold Coast for the Blues and Broadbeach Festival, which I don't know if you've been to before, but I was there for 3 months living, and the building we were in, it was right below. And it's a good time. They close the streets off, and it's pretty fun. So you're going to have a pretty good time. And you've already sold out the Sydney show, which is good. Great room, that one.
Great.
You know what? I've worked there a couple of times, and some rooms backstage, you're literally Spinal Tap, like running around going. This joint is very well thought out.
Great.
Very
well, that's nice.
Very
that's
well
nice.
Planned. I might go up to the Gold Coast because it's nice. It's warm.
Yeah. The festival. Yeah. Nice warm. Yeah.
That was Melissa Etheridge. She's touring Australia in just a couple of weeks from now in early May. Tickets are on sale right now. I really like that chat. What a enormously down-to-earth human being. What a truly, truly wonderful. Like, she's clearly done a ton of work, right? Some of the stuff we talked about is heavy, right? But the grace that she spoke about some of those things was just amazing, you know? I really liked how she spoke about surrounding yourself with like-minded people who can support you and inspire you, and how that is crucial for your personal and your artistic growth, the way she spoke about, you know, moving away from Kansas and going to Boston and then moving over to Los Angeles, and hearing her talk about the relationship between experience and artistic development, that was great. Even someone like that talking about how important it is to take time to explore, to learn before you create something. It could be music, it could be something you're writing, it could be any, like a really clever spreadsheet, right? You need something for your subconscious to bounce off. And I guess the other thing, speaking with someone who's not only had to face her own, you know, mortality, but the death of a child, you know? After all that, hearing the way that she spoke about belief and love and being present in the moment, and how that was the key to overcoming the challenges and finding the joy in life. I mean, this is someone who's been given a cancer diagnosis, gone through chemotherapy, lost a child, an adult child. He was 21 years old. And you heard the joy in her voice. You heard how much joy there was in her voice. That doesn't seem like she's wanting to keep how she gets there a secret. There must have been a lot of work to get there, but it's inspiring to know that it's possible. It was really nice to be reminded of that. What do you think? Head over to the Instagram. There's a long video, essentially, of like little bits of this interview. Just drop a comment in there. I'd love to know what you thought. Thanks to everyone that helped me make the show today. Thanks to Andy Marr on audio and video post, Abby Benno, who produced this show, Toe Hider on the music, Ben and Monica for keeping the lights on at OGTV. The links to the live shows and the mailing list are in the show notes. Have a fantastic day. I'm back here on Friday. Bye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too.
That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.